More and more parties and organizations are withdrawing from the national convention amid fears that the national dialogue will become an African National Congress monologue. We speak to Dr. Tiens Eerlof of the Afrikaner Leadership Network. Good morning, Doctor.
Morning, Chris.
Well, Freedom Front Plus, Solidarity, AfriForum have joined the legacy foundations, including that of former President Thabo Mbeki, in exiting from this weekend's national convention. Are they doing the right thing?
I believe so. The idea of the national conventions, many people said it started with President Mbeki, but it didn't. It started in November 2023 with Mkabisi Jonas in his capacity as a black businessman. They were concerned about instability after the 2024 elections if the ANC may not have reached a majority. And he even started putting together a committee of 30, what he called elders. And then for some reason, it didn't happen. And then Mbeki took it over, the idea, before the election. And interestingly enough, it was then included in the document that was signed by the parties to the Government of National Unity, in which they said it's their project. So it came a long way. Now, from the beginning, I believe from a civil society perspective, that this time ordinary people should talk and politicians should listen. So I was from the beginning not happy that even the GNU said that this is our project, because with party politics, you know, it will also be captured, will always be captured. What transpired is that for many reasons, the foundations plus a number of NGOs started with preparatory work, and they did a lot of work. One can give some criticism about that too. But eventually they presented the first budget. You'll remember the furore about the 700 million. And then, in a sense, government stepped in and said, well, we can't pay that. And what we have now, basically, in the last 2 months, is that the presidency basically took this whole process over. Invitations, if there were any, were sent from the presidency. Sometimes they would give NEDLAC, the secretariat, a command to say, invite this and this and this, or these and these and these. So in effect, what has happened is that the presidency is now in charge of the national dialogue. The big parties in the GNU, as you've mentioned, the DA and the Freedom Front Plus, we don't know about the others. But more importantly, the foundations also withdrew. Now, I've heard Ruth Vaya this morning on the radio saying, yes, but there are foundations that are still in, and there are many other organizations. The point is that the stature that this process had with these legacy foundations at least being in the forefront has now been dropped. So I think we're doing a good thing. There are, for good reason, fears and suspicions that the presidency has taken this over, not as a government of national unity, but as an ANC presidency to steer this process into a certain way and to avert any negative criticism that can come to the ANC. Secondly, the fact that, and I think here the foundations were perhaps a bit naive, in their documents they talk about 13,000 local government discussions in every ward in the country. Now that sounds to me like in the year before, actually in the year, because it's going to start next year only, that you have a local government election and you're going to have discussions in every ward. It's like the ANC says, we don't have enough money in our own coffers to run a campaign. Let us use the national dialogue for that. So that's that real fear. And secondly, obviously, that the ANC will try to steer this into their own pet hates or pet loves of transformation and all the other superficial things, whereas the ordinary people worry about jobs, safety, and education. So I think, yes, they're doing the right thing. We, as an Afrikaner Leadership Network, have actually in our statement yesterday appealed to other thinking organizations in civil society not to attend, and not to give legitimacy to this thing that's clearly starting to be taken over by the ANC.
Now, your membership organizations were not even invited to the convention, were they?
Well, one or two were. Solidarity was invited through a direct message to NEDLAG by Phoebe Potgieter, who said, invite these Afrikaner organizations. This happened last week only. But most of us were not invited. My worry is that one doesn't know who invited whom. Who invited people in the first place? I know that there was a social media form circulated, but it didn't come from anywhere. It had no official status. That's the problem with this whole thing. Even before the presidency took this over, there was no structure, there was no identity, there was no... I mean, I would have thought, Chris, that when the EPG, the Eminent Persons Group, were appointed, and the two co-chairs, Ruth Meyer and the academic professor, were appointed co-chairs, that they would take charge and leadership and have a press conference and say, okay, this and this is going to happen. Here you can apply, or here, give your name to us, we will invite you. But it didn't happen. Now, whether they didn't have the capacity to do that, I don't know. But the point is, eventually, if you wanted to attend, you phoned the presidency, and you know, then you got an invitation. So that's the problem, that there was no proper planning. I also know that the date that the foundations proposed first was June, and they had already in March asked the president and the presidency to announce it. He took until June to announce it, and then it was moved to August, and then, even then the time was too short. So that's the problem. So that's the, call it the political problem. We also have a process problem, and that is that, think for yourself. On Friday, 1,000 people, as they say, will arrive at UNISA. They come from many sectors. Some have said, I'm this sector. How will they in 24 hours, 48 hours, agree about the agenda of the National Convention? There's no way. No preparatory work had been done. No discussions had been undertaken with some of those organizations. There's no direction. It's going to be a massive chaos. And that's the problem I have, is that in such a chaos, the ANC or the presidency will just step in and say, well, we think this should happen. I mean, one scenario is that they go into groups, and that the groups then come up with 5 or 10 themes each. You've got 150 themes. They can't resolve it. Then the organizing committee of the presidency will say, well, don't worry, we'll do it. And what will they come up with? They will come up with an ANC agenda. So I believe that it's shoddily organized. It's bad. Coming back to your question, most of our organizations were not invited, but some were invited through the ANC. Now, that's a case in point. You know, the ANC told the NEDLAG secretariat to invite these people. Some of us were not invited, some were. But that's at the core of this problem, that the presidency, aka the ANC, took this thing over.
Mm. Now, when you and I spoke last time, you and other prominent Afrikaner leaders had just met with African National Congress NEC members, and you were really optimistic about that going forward. What has become of that dialogue?
I think Trump came in between. The ANC was very, by their own words, and the once or twice that some of us could speak to one or two of them, felt that the whole visit of solidarity to America was being traitors to the country, going to tell stories there as if the CIA and the embassy in America doesn't know exactly what's happening in the country. The point is they just shut the door. There was radio silence from, you know, people like Makura and Phoebe Potgieter and others who we had it negotiated with. So yes, we were naive enough to think that you could trust the ANC. Obviously, their story is that they can't trust us because the Afrikaners went and told stories to Trump. So that whole thing, even the PAC, because they initially facilitated that meeting, couldn't get through to the ANC. So they told me, sorry, we can't get through to these guys. So I think the ANC just closed ranks, not just around this, I think around things like transformation, black economic empowerment, the Trump issue and so on. And I think they're using this now to try to get a new legitimacy. I'm also worried, and this is a perception, that President Maposa sees this now as his legacy, that he could start along the lines of a CODESA, a new dialogue. It's said in the presidency that he wants 1,000 people there because he wants to make a speech. Now, that is not a national dialogue. That is exactly an ANC monologue. So, yes, we were perhaps naive to think that you could trust the ANC. Now it's very clear that even though they sounded rational at the time, that is not going to happen. And I wrote a recent article in the Afrikaans papers saying, Fuzzbait, the ANC is op pad uit. Hanging the ANC is on its way out in 2026 and 2029.
Isn't it a bit late for President Cyril Ramaphosa to try and leave a legacy, a positive legacy?
Well, it depends. You know, he perhaps thinks that it is his last chance. He's got 2 years left, and he's facing difficulties internally. So I don't think he thinks it's too late. I do think that that the way this is going to be, he will, as he did with the Trump visit, will declare a victory. Whatever happens on Friday and Saturday, he cannot but declare a victory because, you know, they want to take the process forward. What will happen is anyone's guess. I would imagine that they would probably want to just push ahead with it. And then it depends on whether civil society will participate. I am worried about the whole question of the local government elections and if the ANC goes ahead alone with these things with public money, then they have a campaign. You know, they can wage their campaign without the interference of anywhere else. So that's a question that organizations like ours and others must consider. The other thing is that it may be that other civil society organizations, including the foundations, could say, look, if this is the way you're going to do it, we will start our own and proper civil society national dialogue. I know, for instance, that Dr. Bram Hanekom, who is just retired from the Center of Public Witness linked to the Dutch Reformed Church, had conducted in the last 12 months 30 local dialogues in the Western Cape, the Northern Cape, and the Eastern Cape. And it was very clear that was real people on the ground who spoke from civil society. No councillors were allowed from any party. And he has Dr. Bram Hanekom has a record of what came out of that, and he told me that the three top things by far that's common is jobs, security, and education. So in a sense, we can do that. Some of us can say, look, we're not going to go with the government on this one. Let the politicians or the ANC then do this. We will do it ourselves, and we can do it for much less than 700 million. I always thought that when I did my first sums about this, and you use the sectors, and the sectors pay their own way where they can, and they ask for subsidy where they can, you can do this for between 20 and 30 million, very far from 700 million.
Now, there are ordinary citizens on X saying the government just has to go on X and see what people are telling them at no expense. And what they have been telling them for many, many years, and they will come to the same conclusion.
Yes.
If they have not listened to the voices of the people thus far.
Yeah. Obviously, the ANC will question, you know, say these are saboteurs placed to discredit them and all that. I know it's nonsense. I think one of the problems of this ANC government and of the leaders is that they're not in touch with people on the ground. That's very true. Let me just also say that I'm in principle absolutely for a national dialogue. Not, I know people say, look, we don't need talk, we need acting. The problem is we know this government will not act. So we'll have to wait for party political processes. But in the meantime, I'm worried that the whole democratic dispensation and culture of the country is being undermined by people saying, I don't trust the parliament anymore. I'm not going to vote. I'm going to look at other means to do it. And I think that discussion to say, how do we hold parliament and political parties again accountable? That's very important. With pushing for acting, pushing for action, I think we need to have that discussion. And then the people on X that you're talking about, if they could come together and amplify their voices and amplify their criticism, then at least we will then, in a certain sense, prepare for the local government elections and for the national, the general election in 2029.
So how will the Africana Leadership Network try and have an impact on the dialogue?
Well, we will obviously, as the foundations say, that we will look at what's happening. And if there's a restructured and almost reformed process in which political parties do not play a role, we would be obviously willing and eager to participate, you know, in the national dialogue. Because we saw with the Bella consultations on the ground, we didn't stay away. We went everywhere. Obviously, we weren't listened to. We had the majority of no's, you know, in that process, but the ANC just did what it wanted. Hopefully, we can have an impact at local level. And we have good, apart from your ex people, we also getting more and more feedback from other, call it cultural and traditional communities, traditional leaders, the Khoi and the Sun. We have exactly the same problems that we have. And we think that to form a united front with them and present something in the course of that process would also make an impact.
Lastly, I don't know if President Cyril Ramaphosa watches our shows, but if he is doing that, what would you like to say to him since your voice is not going to be there on Friday?
Well, I would say that he should not have pushed through with this. He should have postponed it until at least November. Had a proper consultation, had a face it. And I must say I'm slightly disappointed with the EPG that they didn't take leadership. They were appointed as the leadership group. They had one small media conference. He should hand over to the EPG at least. The EPG should look at where they could make their representation stronger, have a proper process mapped out, with public announcements saying, this is what it's going to be. These are the people we're going to invite. If you want to be invited, here's the email address or WhatsApp that you can, and then do it properly. If he doesn't want to do that, then obviously I think there should be another committee and perhaps an enlarged or a strengthened EPG who could start talking to the people who didn't want to participate. But most importantly, the presidency shouldn't run this thing, and the ANC should withdraw, as I think should other political parties.
Thank you. That was Dr. Tiens Eloff of the Africana Leadership Network speaking to BizNews. I'm Chris Steyn. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Chris.